Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's March the 10th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst for Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Farm Bill conferees say it will be nearly impossible to put together a Farm Bill before the old one expires this Saturday. USDA does not plan to release to the public the names of establishments through which millions of pounds of now recalled meat were sold. Oh, and do you remember when we used to talk about the Japanese ban on U.S. beef imports almost every day? That country still has not opened its market. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories and one on the price of land in Brazil. That'll happen later in the half hour. And don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby soft red winter wheat March contract at $11.40 on a settlement price up 47.5 cents. May futures up 58 at $11.63 today. And July, the new crop at 53.25 higher, finished at $11.21¾. March corn futures at 5.55½ up 22. The May futures at 5.65¾ up 18.5 cents. And July corn at 5.78¼ up 19¼. In the corn pit, December contract for the day traded like this. The nearby at five, or rather the new crop at 5.59¼ up $5, or rather up 19¾ cents on the afternoon. Soy complex now. March soybean futures 13.88 up 47. May at 14.06½ down 2¼. And July at 14.20½ down a half. November beans $13 even, 11½ cents lower today. March bean meal futures at 353.20 up 14.20. The March bean oil at 61.20 up 95. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, livestock, April contract and live cattle, 89.75, down 77.5, and June futures at 91.50, down 50. March feeders down 40 at $100.20, and the April lean hog futures finished at $57.72.5, down 12.5 cents on the afternoon. Outside markets for the day look like this. Nearby crude oil futures, April contract at 107.85, up $2.70 a barrel. May futures at 106.80, up $2.52. The CRB index at 411.94 is up 0.29 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,783 is down just about 110 points. And the U.S. dollar remains weak, down 0.02 at 72.99 for the day. Gold futures trading the nearby March contract at $969.90, down 230. And the April at 971.80, that's down 240 on the afternoon. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says across the two states tonight, in the southeastern parts of Indiana, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy. There will be a chance of a few flurries elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 20 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in the southern parts of Indiana. Tuesday, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 40 in northeastern Indiana to 60 in the southwestern part of Illinois. The relative humidity levels will be the highest over the snow-covered areas in the north, where levels will remain near 60%. In the warmest areas, the southern Illinois, the lowest relative humidities will drop between 35 to 40%. Wind speed should range from calm in the south to gust around 20 miles an hour in the northeastern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast looks like this. Localized river flooding due to continued snow melt expected in northern Illinois and northwestern Indiana. That through the middle of next week. A work week warm-up will peak Wednesday with high temps climbing to well above average, peaking near 70 degrees in southwestern Illinois. A chance of showers on Thursday will signal a return to cooler conditions, but snow for the far north and rain to the south on Saturday.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Todd Gleason on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal joins us this afternoon to take a look at the commodity markets. Hi, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with some of the news that came out of Chicago and the CME Group today. There were two items, I suppose. CME Group says grain and oil seed options will be available for electronic trading. That'll be side-by-side trading, E-Trade, and open outcry, I guess, beginning April the 14th. And then the second one, daily price limits for the Chicago Board of Trade soybean, soy oil, corn contracts will be increased starting March the 28th, that pending CFTC approval. To maintain an orderly marketplace, the CME Group says the daily price limits for the board corn will be raised to 30 cents a bushel from 20. Soybeans will increase from 70 cents to 50 cents. And soybean oil to 2.5 cents, up from the 2 cents per pound limit. What'd you make of all those? Were they expected?
Well, on the price limit moves, daily limits for say, that's been expected for some time. There's been talk of that for over a month, month and a half. Probably took its clue from the Minneapolis Wheat Exchange. They want the market to be liquid, so there can be some trading take place by expanding the limits. They feel that could be accomplished. When you look at percentage moves, you take the current price and put a percentage on it versus where we were a year ago, it's doubled. So that warrants maybe being done. But in the meantime, you say, well, why have limits if they're going to change them all the time? Just open it up and just let it have a free-for-all, for say. So, but in order to, you know, keep some stability in the marketplace, this is a move that needs to be done so there's opportunity to get in and out. As far as the other question you had, what was that?
Oh, well, I was just, it was not really a question. It was just a news release from that they were going to use E-Trade for the oilseed options as well as maybe, let's see, it says grain and oilseed options will all be available electronic trade side by side.
Good move. They were having electronic trade and options just at night, but the volume was very, very thin, very little activity during the options at night. Of course, during the day, they went pit trade only. The way I understood it was the software and the ability to trade the options now being better suited for the environment, so that's going to be welcome. But that's been their goal from a while back, is to get everything over to the electronic side of the equation there so it could be done more in a timely and efficient manner.
And then finally, back to those limit moves, there was some wording in the CME Group's press release, and I don't know whether you'll know the answer to this. I made a phone call to see if I could get them to clarify what they define as a session, whether a session starts at the beginning of the overnight trade and ends at the end of the day trade, or whether each of those periods is a separate session. Because if a limit move were to be made during a session in two contracts, then the 50% expanded limits would be put in place. If they define session as the overnight trade or as just that period, then that would mean overnight could go up the limit and we'd have an expanded session during the day. But I don't know what they meant by that. Do you have any understanding better than I do?
Well, probably clear as mud, but the way I understand it, it'd be from the night clear to the closing in the day. For example, we had Minneapolis wheat futures move limit overnight, but they did not expand those limits the next day, for example, during the day trade. The way we interpreted that was it would be the night they included into one session.
Well, I made a phone call to them, and we'll see whether they'll get back to us and define better what a session is. I think a session is actually the whole trading session, which is overnight into the end of the day trade, but they could split it in half, and that would be a wholly different kind of subject. We better talk about the marketplace just a bit. We had a rough week last week, especially in the beans, down a dollar two, but nearby March contract gained 47 cents today.
Yeah, we saw a comeback. The fallout continues to be so-called hedge fund liquidation. What's happened is some of these hedge funds don't only trade in just corn and beans. They're in a variety of investments, and some, as you well know, got caught in the subprime. And there's just a shortage of credit worldwide. And what we've been seeing is a good chunk of these hedge funds are foreign hedge funds. And not only are they getting caught in the credit crunch and having to develop more credit, but they are trading in U.S. dollars, and the U.S. dollar has fallen so much that, you know, it's taken more dollars on top of that to keep them afloat. And their banks are starting to get to a point now where they want some more backing. They want some funds themselves and some repayment of some of these loans. So we've seen some of these funds come in and liquidate a position. But what we've seen in the funds in general, whenever they turn seller, everybody else turns seller, and it's just a free fall. That happened in January. It happened in the first part of February there. And, of course, it happened here over the last week, per se. And whenever they quit selling, buy a little bit, everybody comes back and buy. And what it tells us is maybe the funds are maybe a little too big in here, and we wonder if they're having to scratch their heads a little bit and figure out how in the world they're going to get out of this long position, because they just can't come in and just all liquidate at once. There would be no buyers to offset that position. But this is just going to create more volatility as we get into the growing season. We got to expect wide trading ranges. The November beans broke about $2 off their high, so hopefully today's lows will catch in through here. And the significance of December corn futures, the low today at 540 and a quarter equaled the January high at 540 and a quarter. So there's some interesting things to be looking at on the charts here, Todd.
And can you trace those out as a retracement and then just a bounce off the bottom and heading back up, or are you concerned that a top may be putting into place?
Well, right now, with the bean chart, you got to look at the key price reversal down. You got to view that as a high. And any type of up move would be some type of retracement back up to the upside through here. Some of the cyclical lows are.
But not to take the high out.
Well, thus far, but that's subject to change.
It's always subject to change.
But from a pure technical point of view, they're in technical momentum indicators and so forth, that warrants that the top is in, and any type of move would be just strictly a retracement rally. Fundamentally, there was some fears that maybe tomorrow morning's crop report will show a little bigger supply in the southern hemisphere. And also, too, looking a little longer term in here, as we see the South American beans relatively available, we can see that demand shift there. Lastly, too, fundamentally, there's still ideas we'll see a fairly large bean acreage number here at the end of the month. Whereas corn, on the other hand, here, it's still in a position here to maybe march higher. We had a very impressive turnaround. We had the low at 540 and a quarter in the D's. We finished up here at 579, 39-cent trading range. So it's in position to maybe take out the highs here at 585 and try the $6 level.
What kind of numbers would make tomorrow's report really important in the grand scheme of things?
Well, you have to wonder if fundamentals really matter anymore, but the bean carryout estimates, the average trade guess is 155 million bushels. If we would come in at 150 or lower, that would be bullish, or 160 or higher, that'd be bearish. On the corn ending stocks, the average guess is 1.436. You know, same thing there. If it was 10 the higher or 10 lower from there, that might be a significant thing. But probably the significant number to watch, and what got into the wheat market today, is concerns that this wheat stocks number might be lower. The average trade guess for the U.S. stocks is 265 million bushels. And that is below the February estimate of 272 million bushels. Not only the domestic number, but the world wheat number is expected to be tighter too, Todd.
Kurt, I appreciate you being with us and taking the time today.
Very good. Enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Auditorium for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight's meeting gets underway at 7 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign, Illinois. That's this evening at 7 o'clock at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Auditorium in Champaign, Illinois. The meeting is free and no advance registration is required. Bring your marketing questions and we hope to see you there.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Please visit our website at willag.org. Dave Dickey will be back in a moment with all the day's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
In agricultural news, House and Senate Farm Bill conferees concede it will be next to impossible to conclude Farm Bill negotiations before heading off for a two-week recess this Friday, and they are now looking at an April 15th target date. The current extension of the Farm Bill expires on Saturday. A Democratic House aide says that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi would reluctantly support a one-month extension of the Farm Bill. And an aide to the Senate Majority Leader says Harry Reid would support as short an extension as possible. USDA says it will not release to the public the names of the 10,000 establishments that sold 143 million pounds of recalled meat from Hallmark Westland Meatpacking Company. A number of lawmakers are unhappy with the announcement. New York Representative Maurice Hinchey has demanded USDA supply the names by the middle of this week, and he's pushing for a rule change that would allow disclosure. The U.S. and Japan on Friday held an hour-long negotiation to consider a resolution to remaining Japanese restrictions on U.S. beef. There were no breakthroughs during the meeting. Japan restricts U.S. beef imports to cattle under 21 months of age. A study by AgriFNP says land prices in Brazil have risen more than 100% in the past 7 years. When calculated in dollar terms, land prices have risen by an average of 219% over the same period. Officers at AgriFNP say the main influence on higher land values has been soybean prices and the demand for soy. And a draft annual report prepared by the Environmental Protection Agency indicates there has been a drop in greenhouse gas emissions. During 2006, emissions dropped 1.5% from the previous year. EPA says the decrease was due primarily to a reduction in carbon dioxide emissions associated with fuel and electricity consumption. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, inviting you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find most of last week's all-day Ag Outlook program posted, including the visuals or the PowerPoints if you'd like to download those. It's at willag.org. Now up next, the world needs weed scientists. The University of Illinois is in the business of training them. I'll have more from the greenhouses right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. University of Illinois horticulture and crop sciences students can spend a lot of time in the greenhouses. Their teachers, like Associate Professor John Masunas, say it is an experience that prepares them for good, solid agricultural careers.
Most of the students I have work with me directly are graduate students. So they're, I have a number of graduate students that are working in, as farm advisors, either in extension or in private industry. I also have a number of students now that are at other universities.
The greenhouse and lab work Masunas teaches focuses on the ecology of weed populations, the real-life whys and hows that translate from campus to the field, the things that make weeds competitive and invasive.
One of the reasons why is they produce a tremendous amount of seed. You know, a large plant can produce tens or hundreds of thousands of individual seed that next year can produce plants. Another thing is that many of the weeds, like water hemp, are very adapted to our cropping systems. They emerge over a period of time. So if we're using a single herbicide, whether it, or even multiple applications of something like Roundup, they'll just emerge after the, or glyphosate, they'll just emerge after the herbicide's applied.
This later emergence can also give weeds a competitive boost in crops like soybean that do not tolerate hot, dry weather well. Knowing the ecology of weeds is like knowing the weaknesses of your enemy, and John Masunas is in the business of developing bright young minds for the field battles that happen all across America every growing season. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
On a Monday afternoon, the folks at the Andersons always join us to take a look at the cash grain market. They're on the line this afternoon. Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Todd?
I'm very well. Is this Brian? Is that right?
This is Larry.
Oh, Larry. Hey, Larry. I'm sorry. I didn't know who I had. Tell me about the cash grain situation today and how farmers have viewed the drop in the marketplace and maybe the rebound that happened today a bit.
Well, we did rebound today. With corn up about 18, 19 cents. Actually, beans were closed down just a slight amount. I haven't really seen a lot in the change, a lot of movement in the basis. I know corn trains are that we could get out of here. Right now, corn trains and bean trains are pretty much non-existent. It's really hard to find freight, so that's keeping the basis soft. And so I think the basis is particularly soft on beans right now. So we're seeing everything's kind of on hold. Basis that we are at right now is about 25 under for corn and about 55 under for beans. And processors are a little bit better over in Decatur.
Why the lack of freight trains?
Most of the, like a lot of the freight that we move into the southeast right now, apparently there's a lot more corn down there than what they thought they would have, considering the drought that they had. So they're still using a lot of local corn, from what I understand, and that's slowed down any trains going, at least on the NS or the CSX, going into the southeast.
Well, Larry, I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome.
Larry Wood is the general manager at the Andersons right here in Champaign County, Illinois. A very large elevator located in this part of the world. We thank him and his staff for joining us each and every Monday afternoon. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather in just 2 minutes.
It's National Blueberry Popover Day. Food historians are in agreement. Popovers are an American recipe derived from Yorkshire pudding from 17th century England. The oldest known reference to popovers is in 1850, and the first cookbook to print a popover recipe was Practical Cooking by M. N. Henderson, published in 1876. Popovers were originally made by cooking the batter in custard cups, lubricated with drippings from roast beef or pork. On this day in agricultural history in 1845, John Chapman died. He was better known as Johnny Appleseed. An American pioneer, he planted apple seeds in the Ohio River Valley area of Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana. Appleseed planted nurseries rather than orchards, and he built fences around them to protect them from livestock. He obtained apple seeds for free from cider mills, and he went barefoot year-round. In 1867, Lillian D. Wald was born. She was a scientist and nurse, and among her activities, she helped initiate the enactment of pure food laws in the U.S. Wald also took on major industries, lobbying for health inspections of the workplace in order to protect workers. And in 1873, John Torrey died. He was the first professional botanist in the New World. A mountain peak in Colorado is named for him, and Torrey climbed the mountain for the first time when he was 76 years old, where he gathered alpine plants that he had named 50 years earlier. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Urbana-Champaign, the U of I campus. On the phone with us this afternoon from Chicago is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about what you see in the weather forecast.
Well, starting off here across the U.S., the focus of attention is really on the plains, hard red winter wheat belt, especially the dry western acreage there, particularly down south in areas of the Texas, Oklahoma Panhandle, and southwestern Kansas. Bottom line is that the dryness is going to continue here at least through this middle portion of March. So that is the area that needs precip, and at least in the short term, there's just no sign of it here. Also, we need to pay attention here with corn planting way down south across the southern U.S. and accomplished here, at least over the next few weeks here, just due to a continuation of variable temperatures. Obviously, you're on the cool side now, quite a bit of variability coming up, but this kind of colder March that we've seen here, especially in the middle of the country, looks like that's the prevailing pattern here through much of the month.
And as you look around the globe, what do you see?
Well, down south across South America, harvest progress continues to be fairly steady in both Brazil and Argentina, and there's just no sign of any kind of major rainy patterns here that would hinder harvest progress across those areas. So it's looking like a very good crop here for both corn and soybeans in South America. And overall, no issues here as we wrap up their season. We also are monitoring China, where exceptionally warm temperatures here are going to continue over the next couple of weeks. So that's actually going to spur the winter wheat and winter rapeseed crops to come out of dormancy. And now, over the next few weeks, once the crop comes out of dormancy, we'll get maybe a better assessment of that extreme wintry weather back in January and February, what that did to the crop.
And thank you very much for your time today. And, you know, if you look out into the next month or so, Mark, what do you see for wet weather patterns in the United States?
Well, Todd, we're certainly keeping an eye on this very strong jet stream that's been in place really throughout the bulk of the winter here, with the most active conditions here across the Midwest. And at this time, in generally speaking, this stronger jet stream and hence stormy activity in general looks like to continue over at least over the next 30 days or so. So that's certainly something to watch here once we get more so, you know, into full planting gear come April and even after that. So that's what we're watching closely. And certainly with an active jet stream here, that at least increases the risk here of at least some planting delays here, at least starting off the new planting season. And, you know, conditions here are cool and wet, and so you really need an extended stretch of warmth and dryness to really promote favorable planting, at least starting off.
Mark, I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Okay, Todd, my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. If I sounded just a bit distracted there as I was talking to him, That's because I was on the phone, actually, with the CME group at the same time, trying to get an answer to the question as to what they considered a session, so we knew whether the trading limits would change if an overnight move was in the limit. And they consider a session, as we kind of thought they probably would, from the beginning of the overnight session to the end of the following day trade session. So there's your answer. Thanks for being with us. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.